You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today is a day of beginnings here at Bethlehem. So we are beginning a new church year today. So thinking about the church year, we are beginning what's called Series B. So there's an A, a B, and a C. Today we begin Series B, and we keep in mind the six seasons of the church year. We have them right here on our banner. So we are beginning Advent and then coming to Christmas, and then Epiphany, where we know that Jesus really is God in human flesh. We come to Lent, where he takes away our sins. We come to Easter, where he rises from the dead. And then we focus on Pentecost and Trinity, where he is working in our lives that we might live for Jesus, who lived and died for us. Also, today we're beginning a series on the new catechism. So I'm sure all of you have a catechism, but you probably don't have the new one that only came out about 2 weeks ago. So this particular book is physically bigger than the old catechisms. It's also thicker, about 100 pages more than the previous version of the catechism. And it's a very important book for all of us. So we're going to do a series on the catechism. It's going to cover 10 sermons. Today is the only Sunday sermon. The other ones will be on Wednesdays. And then 11 studies that we will do. Some of them will be between Christmas and Ash Wednesday. Other ones will be then after Easter. So for the next 6 months, we're going to go through the entire book, and I'm hoping that you'll go through it with us. I want to introduce you to the book today by taking a look at the table of contents. So if you look at page 5 in your service folder, you'll see that the entire table of contents is laid out there. And let me very quickly and briefly go through each part of it. Before I do that, though, when we come to the catechism, who is the writer of the catechism? Martin Luther, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther. And then when about did he write that? Do you know the year? Back in 1529 is when he wrote the catechism. And also, too, why did he write it? A very important reason. Notice why he wrote it. So the head of each household could teach his family basic Christian truths. What has happened in decades within the Lutheran Church is that people are always looking to the pastor to teach the catechism. But rather, though, what is much better if the pastor would equip the congregation so the congregation can have their own catechism, take it home, and the parents can teach the children, and they can discuss it at home, make application, and so on. So that's what we're going to try to do here at Bethlehem over the next 6 months. Getting into the contents itself, we have, first of all, the six chief parts. So to be a Lutheran, you really need to know the six chief parts. So first of all, we come to the Ten Commandments. What do the commandments do? They show us that we are sinners because we cannot perfectly keep them. And then they point us to Jesus Christ. And then we want to try to keep them, knowing Christ, and that's how we show love for God and also for our neighbors. Coming to the Creed, that is God's work to make us and to save us. With the Lord's Prayer, that is for the children of God. Jesus said, pray this prayer when you talk to your Father in heaven. So that is for the children of God and how they communicate with the Father. And then with baptism, there's a debate in the world today. Is baptism an arrow up, something we are doing toward God, or is it an arrow down? And the Bible is clear that it is an arrow down. It is God's action to save us. Then we come to confession. The problem is, though we know Jesus Christ, we continue to fall into sin. So God wants us to acknowledge that sin, to be sorry for that sin, and continue to look to Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. And then with the sacrament of the altar, it's a very wonderful and personal way in which God is saying to each one of us, your sins are forgiven. And then going on in the contents of the catechism, we come to a section on daily prayers, one for morning, one for evening, one for before meals, one for after meals. Then we come to the table of duties. So the table of duties, they contain scriptural guidance, so not your ideas or mine, but scriptural guidance, and these are involving duties and responsibilities. So God's not saying, oh, if you feel like it, why don't you do this or that? But rather, he's talking about duties and responsibilities. So when we come to those, there are some in there for pastors and for those who hear the pastors, some in there for government and those who are citizens of that particular government. There are duties and responsibilities for husbands and wives, parents and children, workers and employers, and also youth and widows, so some good instruction. And then we come to what's called Christian questions with their answers, and there are actually 20 of them, and they are very helpful. So when we go through those 20, those are helping us to be able to know very important things about us and about our Lord Jesus Christ, and then they are also a good way to examine ourselves prior to receiving the Lord's Supper. We come now to the explanation of the Catechism. So when you think about the book itself, if you look at the cover, it says in bigger letters, Luther's Small Catechism. Now, way down here in the fine print, it says, with explanation. So you would assume that most of the book is the Catechism, but in fact, it's the opposite. Probably these few pages here at the beginning, and maybe a few more than that, maybe this much is the Catechism, and then all of this is the explanation. So what's the purpose of the explanation that helps us understand and apply the Small Catechism? As we get into the explanation, there's an introduction, and it has the basics of faith, of Christianity, the Bible, etc. And then it goes on to the Ten Commandments. So we have the commandments briefly in the Catechism. Now they are explained as we get into this explanation section. So with the commandments are found in two places. And when we think about commandments 1 through 3, that's talking about our relationship with God. So it's talking about our trust in God, our use of God's name, our worship, and so on. And then when we come to commandments 4 through 10, that's talking about our relationship with our neighbor. And that would be, for example, how we are to honor those in positions of authority. We are not to physically harm other people. We are to respect marriage and respect other people's possessions. We are to speak truthfully, and we are not to sinfully desire what belongs to other people. All good advice, by all means. Can we all do it perfectly? By no means. And then we come to what's called the close of the commandments. Some people have this idea that God is this God of love and he never is going to punish. But God makes it very clear there in the close of the commandments that in fact he does punish sin. But then in a much, much greater way, he emphasizes that he shows great love to those who keep his commandments. So God is trying to say to us, don't over here. And over here, he's giving us great encouragement in order to follow his commandments. Then we come to the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is Trinitarian, so three articles, one on the Father, one on the Son, one on the Holy Spirit. So with the Father, we're focusing on him creating all good things. On the Son, we're focusing on his work to remove our sins. And on the Holy Spirit, we are focusing on his job to make us holy. How does he do that? By clothing us with Christ in holy baptism, and then by keeping us in the one true faith, and he does that as he continues to work through God's holy word. Now we come to the Lord's Prayer. So real quick on each part of the prayer, as we begin the prayer, we should be overwhelmed with this reality that God, the Almighty God, is our Father through Jesus Christ. In the first petition, we remember that God is holy. In the second petition, that we are members of God's kingdom. In the third petition, God wants us to know that his ways are always best. In the fourth petition, we remember that he provides not necessarily all that we want, but he provides all that we need. In the fifth petition, so important, the fifth petition. How do we know that's most important? because immediately after Jesus taught the prayer, he went right back to the fifth petition and basically stated it again in other words. He wants us to know that when we have his forgiveness in Christ, we are in relationship with God and blessed forever. But if we don't forgive as God has forgiven us, we have separated ourselves from God, and that's a horrible thing. So God calls us to forgive as we have been forgiven. In the sixth petition, we're saying, Lord, don't lead us into temptation, but to put it in a more positive way, the Lord is saying, follow me, and I will lead you away from temptation. And then in the seventh petition, God wants us to trust him in order to deliver us. We can't do it. We are weak and sinful. God says, trust in me. And then in the conclusion, we state some things about God so that we know that all the different things we have prayed, he is able to do it because of who he is, because of his greatness. Then we come to a section in the Catechism explanation on the means of grace. In other words, how does God love us in an eternal way? He does that through Jesus Christ. More specifically, he does that through his Holy Word, and he also does that through the Holy Sacrament. So God wants all of us to receive these great blessings. He gives them in word and sacrament. So God is saying, hey, gather week by week and receive. How many of you, when you were kids, had the practice of sleeping in on Christmas morning? I don't see any hands. Now, the only ones that could legitimately, I think, raise their hands would be some of those families that maybe have the tradition of opening the gifts on Christmas Eve. So maybe then you sleep in on Christmas morning. But why did we get up early? We were excited about the gifts, weren't we? God wants us to know that getting a pair of socks and a toy that will break the next day, it's a whole lot more exciting to gather and receive word and sacrament, God's wonderful eternal blessings in Christ. May God help us to have that attitude and come week by week. And then in the Catechism explanation, we find, again, holy baptism, but in much more detail. So we come to the nature of baptism, basically what is it, water and word, the blessings of baptism, forgiveness, rescue, eternal salvation, the power of baptism. We have the Spirit of God working through the water and the word. That gives it power. And then what does baptism indicate? So what's different from this person not baptized to this person who is baptized? Well, the one who is baptized is clothed in Christ, and on a daily basis, we are to drown the old nature, say no to sin, and allow the new nature to rise up so that it can dominate in our lives. Important is those who know Jesus Christ. And then with confession, we have a short form of confession in the Catechism explanation. It tells us what it is, why we should do it, and how we should do it. Also in that same section, we have what's called the Office of the Keys. What does that mean? Earlier in the service today, I exercised the Office of the Keys when publicly I stood before you and I said I was standing in the stead or in the place of my Lord Jesus Christ, pronouncing his forgiveness upon you. So I'm called to do that publicly, but all of us can do that privately. So within our own households, neighborhoods, workplaces, when people sin against us, we're able to pronounce God's forgiveness upon them. It's a blessing that God has given us to use. And then when we come to the sacrament of the altar, a little bit like baptism, we have four different things. So what is it? Bread, wine, body, and blood. What is the benefit? The forgiveness of sins. What is the power? First of all, Jesus gave his body and shed his blood. And then, by God's grace, we believe that is true. And by faith, we receive the benefits of what he did. How do we receive the sacrament worthily? Do we have to be without sin in order to receive it? Well, if that was the case, no one would be receiving it, correct? So God wants us to know it's important that we believe in who Jesus is and what he did. He gave his body and shed his blood. And why did he do that? To take away all sin. But also, we are ready when we know that he did it in a very personal way to take away my sin, to take away your sin. So we approach the altar sorry for our sins, knowing what he did and gladly receiving the benefit, which is forgiveness. And then in the explanation, we have another little bit of an expansion on daily prayers, a little bit of an expansion on the table of duties. Now we come to the appendix. The appendix here is actually a significant part of this book, and I want to share with you real briefly what's in the appendix. First of all, we come to the question, who is Jesus? And it's answered somewhat briefly using the Bible, the creeds, and also the Lutheran confessions. And then we come to the topic of reading God's Word. If you had the Word of God and you were going to read it, what would be the first step, do you think? She is right, so open it. So we open it, and then we actually read it. And then it's important to know the major theme of the Bible, so we know what's going on there in general, and then learn how to interpret it. Almost every Christian church is using the Bible today, but are they interpreting it in a proper way? It's important that we let Scripture interpret Scripture and some other sound methods of interpretation as well. And then it's also important to realize that the Holy Spirit is at work in order to enable us to understand what the Bible says and to give us also the power to be able to apply it in our lives. Going on in the appendix, we come to the question, what is worship? So why are you here today? I'm hoping you're here because you have trust in God, and you are gathering because you know it's important, and you are gathering to receive God's great blessings of word and sacrament. If people don't know their need, they're not going to come. But we all have the need. We're all poor, miserable sinners, so God wants us to realize that and to know that he has the answer here in word and sacrament. And then there's a section on simple prayer. There's a salvation outline, only one page, but it has seven important points that, first of all, we should know well, and then knowing it will be blessed, and then we can share it with others so they can be blessed too. We have Luther's preface to the Catechism. Kind of unusual to put it in the appendix, but it's something that Luther wrote back in his day in regard to what was going on in the world. So when we read it, we might think, oh, that was a long time ago, but you'll be surprised when you read it how so much of it applies to our day and age. And then we have an explanation of Luther's seal. So if you go down our hallway and look there on the window, you'll see a beautiful stained glass version of Luther's seal. So he designed that as a way to summarize his own Christian faith. Going on in the appendix, we have the books of the Bible. So they're laid out in very basic categories. With the Old Testament, we see history, poetry, and prophecy. And then with the New Testament, history, epistles, and prophecy. And then we have this thing called the time between the testaments. So from the time of Moses until about 432 BC, during that approximately 1,000-year period of time, that is when God was inspiring men to write down his holy word. That's what we have here in our Bible as the Old Testament. And then we had a time of silence where God was not moving anyone to write down his holy word. So what was going on, though, during that time? When you read this section, it will tell you about the politics, the writings, the languages, the religious groups, the places where people worshiped, and will also give you this general sense that God was preparing the world for the coming of his Son. So even now, as we're at the beginning of Advent, we are getting ready to celebrate the coming of his Son. What was going on at that time in history? This is a way to find out. And then we have the church here in the appendix. We have terms relating to worship in God's house. So these are things we should know as Christians. We have the terms. We have some real simple definitions. And then we have symbols and their meanings. Sometimes people ask me, Pastor, that symbol on the center of our large cross over the altar, what does that mean? Well, look into the catechism and you'll find that symbol as well as many, many others. And then we have a catechism glossary. So we have keywords, again, simple definitions. And then we have a scriptural index. So imagine you're reading in your Bible one day, and you come across a Bible verse, and you're impressed by that, and you're wondering, oh, I wonder if the catechism touches on that particular Bible verse. How do you find that out? You go to the scriptural index, and it will tell you if it's in there or not. And if it is, it will tell you exactly where to find it. And then right after that, it has an index of topics. Now, are we saying the catechism is more important than the Bible? By no means. But keep this in mind, though. The Bible is God's holy word. So we could put it here like this. And then when it comes to the catechism, it is founded upon God's holy word. And actually, with the new catechism, there are 1,142 Bible passages in this book. So that's how we know that this is true, because it's all based on God's holy word. And then all the way at the end of the catechism, right inside the back cover, we have a short form of baptism. That's something I could use, or even you could use, if we had to do a baptism in an emergency. We know that God works powerfully in baptism. We don't want people to die without baptism. And right here is some good guidance on how to do that. With all that said, let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the catechism and pray that you would bless our study of it in the next 6 months ahead. Bless this series for your glory and bless it for our good, for our benefit, and even equip us that we then might in turn be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.